Well, it's a privilege to be here and to share from God's Word. And so I just invite you to open your hearts to what God would want to say to you today. So, Lord, we just invite your presence here, that you would speak, that I would get out of the way, and that what you want to say would be heard and understood. Challenge us, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the pictures of God that has captured my attention over the years from the Bible is that of God as our rock. You know, rocks and stones are something we often look at as nuisances, something we need to get rid of. I don't know if you've ever tried to plant a garden or plant something in a field where there's rocks, you try to get rid of them. They're in the way. When I was a youth in South Abbotsford, that's where we grew up, we had a youth fundraiser one time where we were asked to go and pick up stones from one of the fields of someone in the church. It wasn't a lot of fun. It was hot, it was dusty, and it seemed like every time we picked up a rock or a stone, there were more that multiplied, more and more. But rocks are super important when it comes to building. Jesus talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, it will also be on the screen. Let's look at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There's some verses that Jesus talks about building. Verse 24 of Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The rock was the foundation. It was solid and could withstand the worst of storms. Jesus then goes on to tell the other part of the story of someone who builds his house on something less solid. So verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Who knows the song that goes with those verses? Who wants to sing it? Okay. "Don't build your house on the sandy land." Yeah, now you'll be thinking of that for the rest of the sermon. Just hopefully you can get that out of your head before too long. We build our lives on the rock when we put Jesus' words into practice, when we live out what he has asked us to do. As any number of builders in this church could tell you, the importance of a strong foundation cannot be overemphasized. Today, we use concrete and rebar to provide a solid foundation, but in the times of the Bible, they used rock as their foundation, big slabs of rock. The Bible is very clear. God is our rock. If you look in the Bible to the psalmist writes often about God as our rock. And Psalm 18, verse 2 is one I'd like to focus on a bit this morning. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." The main idea that I would like to unpack this morning is this: because God is our rock, we can build our lives on him. Because God is our rock, we can build our lives on him. What are you building your life on? Is it on your accomplishments? Is it on being a good person? Is it on your finances? Maybe your health, your acceptance by others? God invites us to build our lives on him, and yet he doesn't force us to do so. I would like to look at four different benefits of building our lives on the rock, on God as our rock. So first, when we build our lives on God as our rock, we can find strength. There is a really close connection between God being our rock and our strength. If you look at the verse 1 of chapter 8, Psalm 18, it says, the psalmist says, I love you, Lord, my strength. And then he goes on to say to the verse that we read already, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And then the end of the verse, he says, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Rocks are symbols of strength, dependability, and steadfastness. This is in contrast to the people of Israel who would follow God for a while, and then when things were going well, when they had acquired wealth and power, they would become proud, and they would forget about the one who actually gave them their strength. I often reflect on this characteristic of God, his amazing strength. I wrote the following in my journal. I love to journal, so I wrote the following in my journal a couple of years ago. I said, Lord, thank you for being my strength. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I so often feel weak in knowing what the next step is or what decision to make. But Lord, your strength is always available. It never runs dry. Thank you that you are my rock. Not a crumbling rock like Mount Larrabee, but solid granite like Stawamish Chief in Squamish or El Capitan in Yosemite. You protect me from my enemies. You are my place of safety. When I rely on things that aren't solid, I endanger myself. Jesus is my cornerstone, my solid foundation upon which I stand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Christ alone, cornerstone. I then wrote what I sensed God saying to me, and this is what I like to do in journaling, is to listen what God might be saying to me. This is what I sensed him saying. Alan, my son, my full name, Alan. God calls me Alan. Indeed, I am your solid rock that you can trust and count on. I will not grow tired and weary, and no one can fathom my understanding. Cling to these truths. Share these truths, for they have been entrusted to you. Your identity in me is sure, and no one can snatch you out of my hand. God was reminding me of some of my favorite verses found in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Maybe some of you have memorized them. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Notice the promises in these verses. God gives strength. And he says the Lord will renew their strength. That's possible because he is our solid rock. In preparing for the sermon, I discovered a song that was written by Paul Baloche and felt it was really good. You are the strength of my heart. You are the strength of my heart. I can rely on you. I can rely on you. When my heart is overwhelmed, I will look to you alone. God, my rock. God, my rock. When we build our lives on God as our rock, we can also find refuge from our enemies. King David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel many years ago before he became king, before he was actually crowned king. When he was still a young man, he was anointed by Samuel. But many of you will be familiar with the story of how King Saul became very jealous of David and tried to kill him. Many times he tried to kill him, and David had to find refuge in the cliffs and in the rocks where God hid him. Psalm 18 has this brief introduction before verse 1. There it says, for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Then verse 2, which we've read already, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. There's a number of Psalms that talk about God as our rock and refuge. Over to Psalm 62, verse 7, where it says, "My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." And then in Psalm 71, verses 1 to 3, King David again talks about the Lord as his rock of refuge. Psalm 71, verse 1, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Never let me be put to shame. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Even though David had these awesome promises from God, it wasn't that life went always in his favor, that it was always easy for him. He encountered more than his share of problems, and yet he found refuge in God, his rock. He experienced God's deliverance on many occasions. You may say that you don't have any enemies, not any like David had especially, but I would say that we all have a very real enemy who is constantly attacking us. We just don't always recognize him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, Peter writes, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking or looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." And then John 10:10, where Jesus refers to the devil as a thief, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." We can experience deliverance when we build our lives on God as our rock. He provides refuge from our enemies. As we stand firm on God, the rock, we can resist the enemy in Jesus' name. Third, when we build our lives on God as our rock, we will trust him more. There's a great song that's called "This We Know," and I've heard that you sometimes sing it here in this church. The chorus and the bridge are so good. It says, "This we know, we will see the enemy run. This we know, we will see the victory come. We hold on to every promise you ever made. Jesus, you are unfailing." And then the bridge says, "We trust you. We trust you. Your ways are higher than our own. We trust you. Jesus, we trust you. Your ways are higher than our own." Building our lives on God as our rock means we are not trusting in our own ability to figure things out. As it says in the well-known verses in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight," or "he will direct your steps." We can trust God implicitly because he is solid. He won't let us down. He is our solid rock. Do you ever feel like things can go sideways? It's so easy to slip into worry and to fear. In those times, we need to say, "We trust you. We trust you." Back when our family was living in Austria, as Daryl just alluded to, we received the news that we were being called back to Canada. This was not our plan. We thought we'd be missionaries for the rest of our lives. It was like a death of a dream for us. But we found God to be our solid rock. We claimed Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 many, many times, over and over again. And there have been many times where it seems like life is throwing a curveball our way. Might be a health concern, might be about a job, whatever. And maybe that's something that's happened to you too, where you've had those curveballs come your way. In those circumstances, to just say again, "We trust you. Jesus, we trust you. Your ways are higher than our own." God has always been so faithful. As Brian Dirksen so beautifully expressed in his song, "Faithful One." "Faithful One, so unchanging. Ageless One, you are my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you. again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. When we build our lives on God as our rock, we will trust him more, and he is faithful. And lastly, when we build our lives on the rock, when we build our lives on God as our rock, we can stand firm when things are shaking around us. On February 6, 2023, at 4:17 a.m. local time, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck the eastern part of Turkey near the Syrian border. This quake was followed approximately 9 hours later by a 7.5 magnitude earthquake about 90 kilometers to the north. After the first earthquake, thousands of aftershocks rumbled through the area. Close to 18 million people in Turkey and Syria were impacted by the disaster, with over 55,000 dead and almost 130,000 injured. Millions were displaced from their homes. More than 160,000 buildings, we're talking about apartment buildings, hospitals, schools among those, were in ruins or too damaged to enter. How could that happen? Why was it so devastating? Well, David Alexander, a professor of emergency planning at University College London, said, "This is a disaster caused by shoddy construction, not by an earthquake." This is a disaster caused by shoddy construction, not by an earthquake. Experts say there's a mountain of evidence and rubble that are pointing to a harsh reality about what made this earthquake so deadly. Even though Turkey has on record they meet all the construction engineering standards, they are too rarely enforced, explaining why thousands of buildings crumbled. So when the very foundation that you are standing on shakes and moves, what do you do? I like the way the Apostle Paul is concerned about those in Thessalonica who were going through difficult and shaky times. He writes in 1 Thessalonians 3:2 about sending Timothy to these believers. He says, "We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through." We need God as our rock, and we also need each other to stand firm when things are shaking around us. You know, there are other ways that things shake around us. The comfortable life that we imagined would continue for many years can suddenly be taken from us, suddenly start to shake and crumble. One of my good friends had his life just turned upside down when his wife died from cancer about 5 years ago. As he was grieving this terrible loss, then the floods came to the area. Remember the big floods that we had? And he lived in Arnold, and his house was ruined. Much of his house was ruined. You know, at first he didn't stand firm. It was difficult. But then he did stand firm as he realized God was his rock, and he built his life on him. I can say he's doing really well today. You most likely have your own story of how things have been shaking around you. I'd like you just to take a moment to reflect on one of those stories, a story where life started to shake around you. What happened? Can you look back and see that God, your rock, provided a place for you to stand firm? In Psalm 62, in verse 2, David writes, "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." It can be super unsettling when things are shaking around us, and yet we know that God is our rock. We can stand firm. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, the rock is referred to as a cornerstone. It says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as our spiritual rock, our cornerstone. If we flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, there it says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then he quotes the verse that I just read from Isaiah. "For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" In the bridge of the song, "Build My Life," it says, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a sure foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken." I don't know if you've noticed, but I like songs. And at one time in my life, I was a worship pastor. So songs really speak to me. There's so many great truths in the songs. One of my work colleagues, Philip Serez, his wife Robin and their family have had their lives shaken to the core. Philip was diagnosed with ALS about 4 years ago. ALS, as you probably know, is a terrible disease that blocks the communication between the brain and the muscles, causing weakness, difficulty speaking and swallowing, and eventually paralysis. And there is currently no cure for ALS. Philip has lost all ability to talk, to walk, to use his arms, to feed himself. He is totally dependent on others. But he continues to give glory to God. Philip was super active. And some of you might know him as a leader of Montreal, SOAR Montreal. Daryl and Maureen and their family participated in that. Another program he was very involved in was the Building Leaders for Peace, or BL4P. There have been many, many prayers for Philip's healing. And we know that God can heal him, but so far he has chosen not to. Multiply, where I work, made a video of Philip's story. And as I watched it, I was moved to tears by this story. I re-watched it just before coming this morning. It's both sad and yet so inspiring. So I encourage you to take some time to watch the full story. We're going to watch just a clip of it now, but the story is on the Multiply website. It's called "The Terrifying Delight of Losing Everything." The Terrifying Delight of Losing Everything. So let's watch that short clip from this video.
We've looked at each other and we're like, how can we feel joy? Why is there, in the midst of something so heavy, a lightness in our spirit? But you can't generate that. You can't muster that up. You can't fake it. That has been one of the ways God has said, I'm real and I'm present and I show up in the tough times because God's here. Because God's here.
Grief, pain, and sorrow are real, but so is God. He generates a joy in the hearts of believers that transcends circumstances and sustains us through suffering. Be sure to build your house on the rock. Storms come. Otherwise, any hope, faith, and peace gets washed away with the sand. Surrendering to Jesus in prosperity secures us in suffering. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are right beside me. Your rod and staff comfort me and protect me. Jesus accompanies us on these hard journeys. Build your house upon the rock.
Yeah, right on. Right on.
All my life you have been so.
I love you.
I love you. I do love you. Better for worse.
Oh.
I do love
you. Oh.
Do you catch those powerful words? With the help of his eye-to-text technology, you can see the words up here. Philip said, "Be sure to build your house on the rock. Storms come, otherwise any hope, faith, and peace gets washed away with the sand. Surrendering to Jesus in prosperity secures us in suffering. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are right beside me. Your rod and staff comfort me and protect me." Jesus accompanies us in these hard journeys. Build your house upon the rock. What are you building your life on? Because God is our rock, we can build our lives on him. As you build your life on God as your rock, he will help you to find strength. He will help you to find refuge from your enemies. He will give you the ability to trust him, and he will help you to stand on a firm foundation, on a cornerstone, even when things around us become shaky, confusing, and hopeless. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for the fact that you are our rock. I thank you for the example of this story we could just watch about Philip Serez. Lord, in the midst of suffering, to still give you glory and to still be used by you is an amazing thing of how you are giving strength. Lord, may your will be done, but we do pray again for Philip's healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you've been with us this morning, and we pray that you would help us to build our lives on you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 15:58 as we close. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Go in peace."